going to speak, first of all, to a former policewoman who was stalked by a neighbour for 9 years and now faces the prospect of that stalker coming to live next door again. Ken Ward repeatedly harassed Mandy Dunford. He exposed himself in front of her while she was in the grounds of her remote farmhouse. There were years of abuse, some of it we won't detail, but she did get police help. He was jailed on a series of charges, but is now out on parole. And when the parole ends, a recent court ruling means he'll be going back to his house, which is next to hers. And the police say nothing much we can do. We might ask the police what they can really do in this. Obviously, he's done his time. They have apparently given Mandy a grant so she can install a panic room in her remote farmhouse. Mandy joins us now. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning.
It was pretty hellish, all this, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't describe. Just an absolute nightmare.
And you're not a kind of softy. You're a former policewoman yourself?
I am. I've always been an independent, strong person.
So what was it like living next door to someone like this?
Difficult to describe, really. My life just got took over by him. The only way I could deal with it, because it was relentless from morning till night every day. I just had to go into close down to deal with it, because at first I couldn't get any help from anywhere at all.
So what, he was on the edge of your property, exposing himself, whatever, carrying on various acts, doing stuff right in front of you all the time?
Continuously, yes. He would be waiting for me outside my house on the morning when I first got up.
How did you react in the first place?
Shock and sort of disbelief what was happening.
Did you speak to him? What did you say?
When he first started doing these acts to me, it had gone past speaking to him then, because I'd suffered a lot of harassment before that with poisons and traps.
You'd fallen out with him as a neighbour in the past, did you?
I never had fallen out with him at all. We were on a friendly basis. Then suddenly one day, reasons unknown to me, he just started with all the harassment. But he I'd heard a lot about him, and he has a background of harassing people.
So what did you do? Did you contact the police?
After it went too far, I contacted the police. To say I was ridiculed and fobbed off is putting it very mildly. And it made Ward escalate his behaviour. It seemed to empower him. And other occasions I went to the police, but again, they didn't want to know. I mean, that's in the past now. I was badly let down by the police.
I hear that was the first time you approached a policeman, the officer came, himself behaved inappropriately.
That's right, yes.
It was effectively touching your thigh, etc., something which the police later dealt with. Which must have made you feel as if it was rather difficult to know where you were going to get some help.
Oh, I just thought, God, where do I go from here? You know, I'm trying to get them to believe what Ward is doing to me, and then the officer does this.
Have you got others in your family who could have been able to help?
Well, in the end, what happened was a close friend of mine who just retired got back in touch with me, and she found out what was happening, and she said she was going to help me. And we spent a good few months, obviously unbeknown to Ward, obtaining evidence. He had no idea she was at my home all this time. And we got the evidence, lots of video footage over several months, and We sent it into the complaints department of the police, and that's when they acted and he was arrested.
Yeah, and then he was sent to jail on several charges, some involving you, some not. He's done his time now, and the law says he's got the chance to carry on with the rest of his life, and that involves returning home. And what does the law say about that?
Yes, well, unfortunately, that's where it all went wrong in the courts. What happened was Ward expressed a wish to return home to his cottage when he was released.
Which is how close to you?
It's actually 176 metres along a track from my home, but all that's between us is farmland and moorland.
OK, and you're in a pretty remote spot here, presumably.
I'm not overlooked by anybody at all, so basically when Ward comes onto my property, it's just me and him, and that's why it can go on, because he's well aware of that.
This is... how are you feeling at the moment about life?
Absolutely petrified, and I've been put in a position now I have no option but to get out of my home. I cannot honestly be expected to carry on living next to him. It just isn't something that is an option.
On the other hand, you're letting this... You're giving in, really, to this appalling person, aren't you?
Yes, but, my life and my safety is more important. I have to have some quality of life and living in total fear.
What do you think should happen then? The thing is, he has done his time. There's no proof that he's going to carry on this behaviour, although you clearly think, well, he will.
The man has a background.
He's got a track record. Okay, yeah, you know it better than I wouldn't dream of countering what you say. So, what do you think should be done? What is the way out?
There is no way he should be allowed to be returned home. All the multi-agencies dealing with it, public protection, don't agree he should be returned home. They think there's a danger. There is only the court and the judge somehow think that, he should have his wish and be allowed to spend the rest of his years and die in the place that he wants to, the place he loves. Well, that was exactly my intention. I love it up there. I actually own my property and all my life savings have gone into it. He's in a little rented cottage, which is, by his previous landlords, was classed inhabitable, and they wanted to condemn it and evict the family because of problems that were causing other people as well.
Yeah.
But the judge is ruling he can come home, and it's left me with no choice but to get out or live in fear and not know what I'm in for every day.
And what about this offer to have a panic room? Have you taken that offer? 5,000 quid offered by the police?
Well, it wasn't actually £5,000 offered for a panic room. When Ward was first convicted, I was offered that a panic room could be put into my home. Bars at the windows and what have you. I actually refuse to live like that. I mean, who would live like that? I'm actually an outdoor person, so it gives
that's
me
why
no...
you're in the countryside, isn't it? Really?
Exactly, and I have livestock, I have horses, and that's my life outdoors.
Can you get yourself a big dog and just see him off if he ever does turn up?
Well, Ward, a lot of the offences against me were firearms, so a dog is of no use whatsoever against firearms.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I would think too much of my dog to set him on Ward. it's just not an option.
So there's no way out of it, really. You're just going to move, you think?
Well, I certainly won't call it moving. The courts have driven me out of my home. They were not. I don't believe the judge was given the full circumstances in the court because of a very poor prosecution barrister. He was not aware of a lot of the background of the case. Ward has been. We had a statement from another female that he had stalked for 2 years previous to me, and the barrister was not even aware of that, even though there was a statement there and she was willing to come to court.
Okay, Rachel. Can you stay with us just for a second? Rachel's our next guest. Thank you, Mandy. I'd like you to stay with us for a second because I'd like to hear what Rachel Horman has to say, who is a solicitor from Watson Ramsbottom. So you just stay with me for a second while I talk to Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, good morning.
What does the law say about all this?
Well, the law is very clear that stalking is now a criminal offence and has been since 2012. I'm also the chairperson of Paladin, the National Stalking Advocacy Service, and unfortunately we still see cases like Mandy's every day where victims are still being let down by the criminal justice system. But my understanding of Mandy's case is that the perpetrator wasn't actually charged with stalking offences. And this is possibly one of the problems.
He was charged with all sorts of things like firearms offences, in fact, wasn't he?
Yeah, serious offences.
Yeah.
But he also could have been charged with stalking offences in addition to those.
Yeah.
I understand that the behaviour went on for a total of 9 years. And we see the average number of incidents that our victims have experienced before they report it to the police is 100. So by the time they get to the police, there could be multiple stalking charges made, and that would then demonstrate to the court that this is a serial offence, that this perpetrator will go on. And without that, I think the true nature of the offending is hidden.
Right. I mean, the courts do have powers to say you don't go within, 5 miles if necessary, do they? And they, can yes. they just say that?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, could she go back to court and ask for them to do that?
I think she would struggle in terms of the criminal court because that has now been and gone.
Yeah.
She would have a right to make an application to the civil court for a restraining order, and that would still be open to her. But obviously, she would have to look at the cost of that, and perhaps the £5,000 would have been better spent on that rather than on putting bars on the window.
Yeah, I mean, how much of this is still going on, Rachel? You hear of cases occasionally. This does seem an extreme one. Your heart goes out to the lady, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not unusual at all. We deal with dozens of cases like this every single day. And unfortunately, these victims are still being let down. We did a recent study which showed that of cases reported to the police, only 1% of those actually ended up in criminal charges.
Yeah, but people are saying here, well, he'll have lost his firearms licence, so he won't have firearms anymore if those were his offences. And if he causes trouble, he goes to jail again. I mean, I don't want to put his case because it sounds like an appalling person. But, you know, that's the way the law works. He's done his time. He's lost his firearms licence. He has to be allowed to carry on with the rest of his life, doesn't he?
But that's, to me, that this case demonstrates that this is a case of his human rights overriding the victim's human rights. She has also got rights to live without this type of abuse.
Yeah.
And he still is classed by most people within that case as a dangerous individual. Had he been convicted of offences with regard to children, would he have been allowed to move back next door to a school? I very much doubt it. But I think that there's a lack of understanding still by the judiciary of the impact on stalking and the victim and the actual risk that stalking poses to the victim themselves.
Right, hang on for a second, would you, and stay with us so we can go back to Mandy. I hope you've listened to that little chat, Mandy, have you?
Yes. I was very pleased about her saying the bit about it's his human rights.
Well, you don't have to say her because she's listening, so you can talk to her.
Oh, sorry, right.
Yeah.
Very pleased about that because that is exactly what happens in court. Once you get to court, a victim does not exist anymore. The offender seems to actually become the victim. And at the outset, I was not in control of what he was charged with. There was actually a lot of plea bargaining, which I disagreed with, and the most serious offences that he had done to me were dropped just to get a guilty plea, because the attitude was he is going to get a custodial sentence in any case because of the firearms he was holding illegally. So what did it matter? But it did matter. It mattered very much to a victim, but I wasn't allowed the trial I wanted.
Yes.
There's also some very important things that haven't come out yet, and that is this order, the SOPO order, which is in place when he comes home, which is supposed to be for my protection and give me an exclusion zone. The mistakes that have been made in it. First of all, it took 11 months before me to know the knowledge of it being amended. And when I discovered the amendment that had been made...
You're losing us a bit here, Mandy. I mean, what the amendment actually said, that it actually allowed him to get closer to you.
Actually gave him access to my front garden.
Well,
yes,
not to your front garden.
Yes, there'd been a mistake on it. There was a random line drawn round a map.
Oh, I see. There's a map which is actually put together, and the way they drew the line meant that he could have turned up in your front garden without breaking
it. Exactly, yes.
Yeah,
the order
can be put right, can't it?
No, it's apparently set in stone. Well, what they did, I'm told it's set in stone and it cannot be amended whatsoever.
Okay.
But when I explained that he was allowed in a good section of my fields, he was allowed at my entrance gate into my yard, and he'd been given permission to come into my front garden, they moved the felt pen line to my garden fence, so it just doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. He can't actually climb the fence into my garden now, but he can stand at the garden fence.
Yeah.
He can almost
peer
into my windows.
Yeah, I know how distressed you feel and how tough this has been, but is it worth soldiering on and trying and just seeing whether everything you fear happens or... I mean, the police are going to be watching.
How on earth can I do that?
You can't.
I mean, how on earth can I live like that? That is not a possible option at all. Who could live like that in fear of what is next going to do?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was very affecting, Mandy, and I wish you all the best, and everybody listening will do as well. Thank you. Thank you for telling us. And we just hope that, you know, something works out in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Thank you.
That's Mandy. Rachel was listening. And so indeed was a spokesman for the police force to whom we're going to speak in a moment. Indeed, I'll just get a last comment from Rachel Horman, who is a solicitor, and then we'll turn to the policeman. But your heart is moved by it, but when she reacts like that to the proposition of carrying on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that she's been very much let down by the criminal justice system, so I don't blame her for feeling like that at all. Yeah. She's gone on for 9 years suffering this, and by the time something gets to court, you would expect that that will be the end of the problem. And obviously this won't be, and we know that stalkers don't just stop. There's a lack of treatment programs. He won't have had any treatment, so why will he stop? And I would really urge Mandy to get in touch with Paladin, the National Stalking Advocacy Service, because I think we will try and help her.
Yeah, it seems all wrong, doesn't it? She should be driven from her home. Rachel, thank you for that. And earlier you heard from Mandy. All right.